Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenge. Today's Wednesday. It's the day we take what we learned from the Bible yesterday and we try to wrestle with what that means for us. This week's topic is Reset Society, how following Jesus resets our views of how society works. And in particular, we've been looking at a story from the book of Galatians that Paul, one of the first Christians, the first followers of Jesus, wrote to a church. And he talked about how the things that normally divide people in society weren't going to divide followers of Jesus one from another. He very specifically called out those who had been baptized into Christ, those who were in Christ and had been baptized. Those are the people he was talking to and about in that passage. He said for them, they were meant to be all one in Christ. There'd be neither male nor female, neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free. Those things that normally divided wouldn't divide in this new kind of society that was going to be called the church. It's important that we note the particular emphasis on baptism here, that he's talking to those who have committed their lives to following Jesus and have had that marked outwardly through baptism. Now, he's not saying that baptism is what saves somebody and what makes them a part of Christ's family where they're all one. Baptism is the outer sign of something inward that's happened. Paul, in his other letters, in his other writings, is so clear that what comes first is faith. The most important thing is that we are saved by faith, and then there are works, there are things we can do that flow out of that faith and give evidence to that faith. But it's not actually the works that save us. So baptism as well is not the work that saves somebody, but it is the outward sign of what God has done on the inside. Paul is addressing those who have had that happen, who've been baptized. And that was no just tradition in his day. This wasn't something people did because grandma wanted them to do it. Baptism was a dangerous thing. To publicly declare you were going to follow Jesus put you at risk. And so Paul is addressing his letter, and he's talking about followers of Jesus being one to those who've committed at great risk to follow Jesus. This isn't just a kind of a rainbow picture of harmony that just kind of happens because everybody loves each other. He's talking about harmony within the body of Christ because people have committed first to Christ, and by committing to Christ, they've committed to life with one another in community. Those who committed to following Jesus in Paul's day had done that at great risk. They risked their family, their inclusion in their ethnic group. They risked their social class by actually coming out as a follower of Jesus. Because they'd done that, they now needed a new family. And that new family was one where those divisions weren't going to actually divide people anymore, but rather the differences could be celebrated and part of that community. Now, this doesn't mean that Paul was saying that all religions in the world are all the same, they're all saying the same thing or anything like that. That's a kind of a recent innovation that actually doesn't even make sense. When you actually look at different religions, they say quite different things that are contradictory. And so Paul wasn't saying something ridiculous here, like all religions say the same thing, mean the same thing, and are all equally valid. Paul isn't stating that everything in every culture is necessarily something to be celebrated in the church community. He was calling them to discern. And they could only discern this properly if following Jesus was what came first, that commitment to Christ signified with baptism. That would equip them with the Holy Spirit now in their hearts to discern what in culture was to be celebrated, compatible with following Jesus, and maybe what parts of their culture were based on all the wrong things, or maybe based on idolatry. And I don't just mean idolatry in terms of worshiping golden statues. I mean idolatry in terms of pursuing money or power or fame or ego or the self or safety or security above all else. There are many things in culture that are compatible with following Jesus that can be celebrated as part of the diversity within the church. There are other things in our culture and other cultures around the world that are actually based on the worship of something that God created rather than worship of God himself. And those things can't come along for the ride. And it's a challenge sometimes to discern which is which. What is based on idolatry and what is compatible with worship of the one true God? Paul himself tried to navigate this really carefully. There's a story in the Bible, in the book of Acts, of Paul visiting the city of Athens, a city that was known for having so many gods that it was said, jokingly in a way, that it was easier to find a god in Athens than to find a man. There were altars everywhere to all sorts of different gods, and when Paul walked around the city, he found one that even said it was an altar to the unknown god. I guess it was just in case. If they hadn't had an altar to every single god, they were going to have an altar to an unknown god, just in case they'd missed one, so that god wouldn't be angry. This was the pagan religion of Athens, and Paul, when he visited that city, was able to speak directly to that. He was able to pick up on that altar to the unknown god and say, you know what, that is a part of your culture, that is a part of your former religion that is actually compatible with Jesus Christ, because I know who that unknown God is, and his name is Jesus. It's important for us to do that too, to look at our culture, our experiences, our background, our previous religion maybe, and to say, you know, what in this can God actually redeem? What of this is something that God can use? It's part of God's story, not just mine. Here's how one author, John Stott, put it. He said, it's important for Christians to celebrate the richness of diversity in culture, but not the idolatry that may be at the heart of it. It takes a lot of discernment. And so I have a question for you to think about today before we try to put this into practice tomorrow. What parts of your own culture do you think might be rooted in idolatry? And I don't just mean worship of golden statues, but of anything God created, things like money, power, ego, safety, security, and so on. What parts are compatible with life in Christ? We'll have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow as we try to apply and live this out. And don't forget, we're reading the Bible in sync as a community. So you might want to check our app or website to see what today's Bible reading is. Have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.